It's good to be with you today as we continue in our series based on the book, The Secrets from the Mountain. The author of the book describes his experiences on Mount Rainier. It's a 4,400-meter mountain in the Cascade Range in Washington State. It's about 100 kilometres southwest of Seattle. He faced many challenges and changing conditions, from the terrain to crevices he had to deal with and many blizzards. And in that process, he tells in his book how he learnt a lot about change and about himself. And today, we have the opportunity to think about change, the impact it has upon us, and how we can remain agile as we deal with change. One thing we know for sure is that change is constant. It's the only thing that really is constant. And today's change that we have to experience is rapid indeed. Think about some of the changes we've seen, perhaps even in our lifetime. We once sent handwritten letters. In fact, the poster used to deliver twice a day on a single gear bicycle. That's what I can remember. Also, there was a Saturday morning delivery. In those days, of course, we used to type letters. And then came email, and then internet cafes where we could communicate with people overseas. But then it wasn't long before we had SMS on our mobiles. And then, of course, those SMSs become very brief with emojis as well. And, of course, Facebook with Messenger has made it easy for us to communicate with people overseas. And we can get sucked into a pace of life that no one enjoys. And, of course, because of the international global communication systems, all that's going on around the world is beamed right into our living rooms. But then there's some good things. 7 Plus gave us unlimited coverage of the Olympics. But we also learn quickly of global tragedies and concerns. And of course, for the last 18 months or thereabouts, we've had the effects of COVID-19 upon us. It's been hard to plan. Many of the arrangements that we've had have been changed. So changing conditions are all around us, and they seem to be getting, well, far more rapid. They're thrust upon us. So we've had to adjust in many ways. I mean, in my lifetime, I've had to become used to the computer and then to email. Then, of course, apps came on the scene. We've got a church app. I have to bring my mobile these days to church because I have to use the QR code in order to show that I'm there in case there's the need for me to be contacted because of COVID-19 alarms. Or even the giving of offering at worship. I used to love to go to the bank each Sunday, each week, and get the money out and put it in an envelope and put it in the offering bowl each day, each Sunday. But now we're encouraged to give by EFT. So things have changed. I've got used to it, and I can see that there's many advantages. So let's think today a little bit about change and perhaps some of the opportunities it provides for us and how as Christians we're able to respond in ways that are really, really creative. First of all, I suggest that change provides opportunities for growth. Change comes to everyone from day to day, sometimes at frightening speed and often unexpected. Change is not an enemy to be fought off, but it's a challenge to be embraced. I think it also brings tremendous fresh opportunities, especially opportunities to grow, to develop, to increase our understanding, to grow in wisdom. John Maxwell said, "Change is inevitable, growth is optional." Jesus taught his followers to help them to grow in understanding, to grow in wisdom, but also to change their behaviour for the good. And I believe that God wants us to continue to grow. This helps us to adapt to change and to have gospel agility. If we are to fulfil our purpose and reach any goals that we might set, we will need to be agile today. In other words, there's no set and forget for the Christian following Jesus. Those who are ready for change and can adapt to it will probably succeed. Those who are unprepared for change or who resist it will struggle and most likely fail, often not realizing possibly that they have failed. So it's an opportunity to grow. Secondly, change offers opportunities to innovate. I remember reading once about a tram company that thought their core business was providing trams, and they focused upon that, and they went out of business because only thought in terms of trams and not transport. Today, of course, we don't just think taxi either. There are new names on the scene, such as Uber. Whoever would have thought of that just a few years ago? The difficulty is that at some point, most of us stop living out of imagination and start living out of memory. That's the day we stop creating the future and start repeating the past. That's the day we stop living by faith and start living only by what we know. That's the day we stop dreaming of what-if possibilities. What if we were to do this? What if we were to respond to the way God's leading us? And we stop doing that. We stop dreaming. Then we end up with if-only regrets. But it doesn't have to be that way. So I ask you, as I ask myself, what are the defining moments that change the trajectory of your life? They are the what-if moments, when a dream is conceived, or a decision is made and possibly a risk is taken. If you give Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, complete editorial control, he will write his story through your life. What an opportunity that is. In Romans 8:31, we've got these words from the Apostle Paul. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Therefore, we don't have to have any doubts about God's good intentions. If you do have doubts, they will manifest in 1,000 forms of fear. But if you believe that God is for you, an alternative reality awaits you. So don't miss the opportunities that change provides. Don't exist with, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that. A very sad epitaph in Scripture is in Jeremiah 46, verse 17. It reads there, "Give Pharaoh of Egypt the title King Bombast, the man who missed his moment." You don't want to miss the moment that God provides. So here is a bold prediction that I throw out. At the end of your life, your greatest regret won't be the things you did but wished you hadn't. Your greatest regret will be the things you didn't do but wished you had. In fact, studies show that over the long haul, we regret inactions more than we do actions. In fact, 84 to 16% difference. We'll have some regrets, no doubt, about the things we might have said or done, but our longest lasting regrets will be the opportunities we left on the table. In the old language, I guess, we talk about the sins of commission and the sins of omission. The sins of commission being the things we said or did that were wrong, and we are able to confess those, we're penitent, we try and correct. But then there's the sins of omission. They are the right things that we fail to do. These things, I think, grieve the Heavenly Father. Why? Because no one knows our unlocked God-given potential like the God who gave it to us in the first place. So the story is really that we should seize the day. Carpe diem, as the saying says. But number three in these thoughts about change and the response we can make, change requires that we will be agile to make the most of it. Now consider how we must adapt to change. I remember in my younger days playing football, and often we started the game, it would be fine, the sun would be shining, but during the game, the rain would fall. And when the rain fell, and it fell heavily, it required changing the way that we played. The rules of the game didn't change, but our strategy had to shift considerably. Because now the ball is wet, the ground is wet, and it's slippery. And you can't continue as before. You have to adapt to the new conditions. I guess it's a bit like Melbourne weather, four seasons in a day. So you take an umbrella just in case. It could be if you're walking up Anstey's Hill to take another example. 1 minute you might be walking through the national park there and you're walking on a flat surface. But before long you find yourself on a narrow and rocky path that requires greater attention and concentration. So let's think about the church for a moment. Changes take place here. But what we should never ever do is confuse form with substance. The substance, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So the substance doesn't change, not at all. But the form can change. I mean, we've got a timeless message, that's the substance, but we express it in time-relevant ways, different forms. For example, how we might worship, how we minister to one another, how we might share the gospel with another person. In other words, the mission is timeless. We are to make disciples who make disciples, and that continues on and on. But the method can vary a lot. We never ever set the method in concrete. So what I'm talking about here is how we can be agile in the setting of today. So what is an agile mindset? Sometimes when we start out, we think we are fully prepared, but then we discover that what we've got ourselves into. So we have to be prepared for change. It can happen at any time. So let's think for a moment about a biblical character, one who stands out perhaps in our mind as much as anybody else. It's the Apostle Paul. His first major change happened on the Damascus Road when he had a face-to-face encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. And rapidly, this man who devoted his time to hating and persecuting Christians became a follower of the one he was persecuting. After that, his life was a roller coaster. How agile did he need to be? Consider his own words from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. Once, I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. What a statement. What a life. What a need for great agility in the situation of the great change that he was facing. But he learned contentment during such change and such extreme experiences. In Philippians 4, 11 to 13, he wrote these words, "I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Paul knew for sure that changes were bound to come. Some were good, some not so good, I guess some were fairly neutral. But whatever came his way, he was ready for it, and he always made the most of it. And when he wrote about being content, as he wrote to the church at Philippi, he was actually in prison. From there, he also reminded Christians to rejoice in the Lord always. "I will say it again," he said, "rejoice." That's in Philippians 4 and verse 4. He didn't let even the most difficult changes prevent him from achieving his mission to reach out and to change the world for Christ. So God changes us and grows us. And we get better at what we do and who we are as we grow closer to God and consequently closer to being our true selves. But let me give you a fifth idea as well. And that is that in this context of rapid, consistent change, it's important to work on the discipline to focus our attention. In other words, concentrate on one thing at a time. Our attention can easily be distracted today with so many things seeking our attention. I remember the words of Thomas Edison. He said, "The first requisite for success is the ability to apply your physical and mental energies to one problem incessantly without growing weary." Today, in our context, in this fast-changing world, if we're not careful, we tend to jump from one thing to the other. And then we don't give space, as it were, for our soul to catch up. I love the words of Archhart, a man who taught quite extensively in the whole area of personal development and in psychology. And he said, "Because we are so accustomed to a fast pace of living, we overlook in the Gospels all the in-between times when Jesus and his followers were walking from one town to another." For example, in John 1 and verse 43, it talks about Jesus leaving Jerusalem and going to Galilee. Now today we think we could hop in a car and do it in an hour and a half. But Jesus took 3 days to walk from Jerusalem to Galilee. But we would project our pace on it. There they were, 3 days, strolling, taking in the surrounds, having the pauses for lunch or a drink, maybe sitting around a campfire at night. Jesus didn't move immediately from one dramatic experience to another. There was downtime. There were transition times between those demands. In other words, there was time to process. Time that I guess we today might almost call vacation. So the question I'm asking is, do you run to the dizzy pace of technology which is designed to make our life easier? Answer these couple of questions. How irritated are you when your computer doesn't boot immediately? Or how frustrated might you get when your cell phone doesn't have a signal? That would be an indication of whether we are running at that rapid pace or prepared to slow down. So what I'm suggesting is, it's important for us to have some margin in our lives. Remember when we were taught in school, when we're coming to a blank page in our exercise book, we were told to rule down the line that became the margin. It's important to have that margin. Books that we read today have got a margin. There's a lot of white space. In fact, no one of us would really want to pick up a book and read it if the sentences went from one side of the page right to the other without any white space, without margin. And our souls need margin as well. So allow the grace of transitions in your life, rather than to blast from one thing to the next. And I believe then you can focus. Art Taruk, a motivational speaker, said that focused action beats brilliance any day. So focus on what you want to do. Don't focus on what you don't want to do, but keep positive. Keep your attention on the steps you need to take to reach your goal. Don't focus on the mistakes you might make that could keep you from reaching your goal, not at all. Don't have a goal of not failing or not losing, but have a goal to win. All our goals must be directed toward the positive, the productive, the excellent, and the godly. So I'm really suggesting here to focus and avoid distractions. I remember reading about the baseball pitcher Robin Roberts, who claimed that when he pitched the baseball, he only saw the catcher and not the batter. And I thought to myself, that is a wonderful illustration of concentration. So make room as you concentrate for God to fill the vessel of your soul. Begin to move out of some of the unnecessary clutter that accumulates in our busy, busy world. The thing is, we can't think about everything all the time. So make space, sit and be still, and let God in. Give God attention, and give attention to the things that really matter, and let go of some of the things that keep rushing at you, even though some of it might be good. Choose and focus. And the sixth point I'd like to share with you today is, as we think about change and the rapid rate of it around us, is to pay attention to the little things that really, really matter. I find that because there's so much that wants to grab our attention, we can let go of some of those key things that God has given us in life that we are to use well in order to truly thrive. So to live well, make sure in this time of rapid change, you get good rest. God made night and day, the time for rest and the time for work and other activities. And diet, of course. God gave us our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Never neglect the body and what we might be eating. That leads to exercise as well. As I talk with some people, they say they're so busy that they're not exercising. Could you imagine that? Some of the people I coach, I ask them, when did you exercise last? When did you go for a walk? And they drop their eyes. Because they have to admit that in the busyness, in all the rapid change they're dealing with, they've neglected that little thing called exercise. Or the spiritual practices, spending time in the Bible, praying, listening to God. And I might mention also the positive relational connections that are so, so important. Those deep friendships that we need to keep mastering. Don't forget those little things. Jesus said, you've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of the many things. So let us be really, really faithful in the little things. They're very, very important. Pay attention to those little things. Little things, as I mentioned, are really, really crucial. For example, when I take my vehicle in to be serviced, I want the mechanic to look carefully at the details of my car. If something is overlooked, it could be disastrous. I remember once when we were ministering in Broome, the executive officer of the United Church in North Australia came to visit us, but he managed to get to a phone box, this is way before mobile phones, to let us know that he was delayed and he had to hire a car midway, because the mechanic who'd recently serviced his car had only hand-tightened the sump plug and it fell out as he was travelling, drained all the oil, and of course, the car could not function. The little things make a big, big difference. It may go against current thinking, I guess, because people think focus on the big things, but I'm suggesting that those little things are the things we should pay attention to. I pay attention to the detail and really sweat some of the small stuff. If you take care of the small details, you'll be able to withstand the forces of change that come against you. So let me reiterate in closing today. To be a victor in conquering change, first of all, view change as an opportunity to grow. Secondly, embrace change as an opportunity to innovate, to do the new thing that God is leading you into. And don't just get caught up in old ways. Thirdly, endeavor to be agile, to make the most of it. Practice agility, which really means number four, to develop an agile mindset. Don't just live in the past. Don't just think necessarily in logical ways, but intuitively be open to the new day that God is offering to us. Fifthly, discipline yourself to focus. There are so many things that grab our attention today, so many things that we could be doing, but the really successful, productive, fruitful people focus, laser sharp focus that really makes a difference. And number six, pay attention to the little things that matter. Don't overlook those little things. They could be swept aside with this onslaught, this tidal wave of change that's upon us. Remember, diet, sleep, exercise, spiritual disciplines, lovely close contacts with other Christians and friends. It's really, really important. May it be that as you continue and you are involved in considering how we embrace change today and how we can live victoriously in it, may it be that we would give our attention to these sorts of questions, this information, and above all, give our faith and our trust and our worship and our allegiance to God who's created us, to the Holy Spirit who empowers us and gives us the energy and the wisdom to live victoriously in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you that you are the God of all. You've created this beautiful world in which we live. It's your gift to us to enjoy. but also to act responsibly within it. We pray, O God, that you would help us as we deal with all the change that's around us, not to despise it, not to be negative about it, but to embrace it in ways that are truly creative. And we would live a life that shows that we, in following Jesus, are open to the new things that you are doing. For Jesus himself said, "Behold, I make all things new." And we seek in our lives to be faithful and obedient to him. Help us, we pray. May your Holy Spirit indwell us, that we might be a true example of people who are on the road, learning secrets from the mountain. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.